हरिः ॐ सहनवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Page 78, Chapter 81, The Lord Blesses Sudama Brahmana. Pratigya. Although Lord Krishna is unconquerable, he nevertheless agrees to be conquered by his devotees. That's the point. He's unconquerable, right? He's ajita, but that devotion of the devotees, he agrees to be conquered. That's the specialness of Krishna. Adhyaya Prakashika. This chapter describes how Lord Krishna ate a morsel of the flat rice brought by his friend Sudama, and bestowed upon him wealth greater than that of the king of heaven. In the course of his loving talks with his friend Sudama, Lord Krishna said, "My dear Brahmana, have you brought any gift for me from home? I regard as very significant even the smallest offering from my loving devotee." Right, so it's not about it's the devotion, because the offering itself is a medium. So it's not the volume, it's the devotion itself that the medium is then used for. So if there's great devotion, whether you're giving, like Yudhishthira Maharaj is with devotion then offering so much to Krishna. But it'll be seen the same as Sudama Brahman offering so seemingly little to Krishna. Because it's the devotion that is judged. Does that make sense? It's not the volume of it. You know, it's like a, how you say, like a, these solid state memory, right? Yeah, but with, but that doesn't have the moving parts.
ROM.
No, because that moves, doesn't it?
No.
Oh, yeah, RAM like that, but also like thumb drives, things like this.
Okay.
But nowadays, computers use solid state, some of them. They don't even use hard drives.
Yes.
You know, what the technical name is, I don't know. But the point is that but when they first came out, they were very big. Now, the other day, someone showed me one that's the same size as the one I have that's quite big. It's the size of your thumbnail. It's only enough to plug in, and that you can has enough on the outside you can pull it back out. So it's like it completely goes in except this little bit that you can grab and pull out. And it's got the same amount of volume as the one I have that's like 10 times bigger or more, 20 times bigger.
Yeah, it's a small chip now.
Yeah, but that's my point. Yeah. But the point is it's got the same amount of memory. So it's not about the size. Right? So in the same way, it's not about the volume or the quality of the offering that you're offering. It's about the devotion that's being used through that medium. Does that make sense? So whether someone cooks one preparation or 20, if they're a good cook, that quality of cooking is what comes through. Right? So let's say somebody is a good cook, they cook one preparation. Someone's not such a good cook, they cook 20. It's not that the 20 is better than the one. You know, so it's nothing to do with that. Or the good cook could cook 20 and the other guy could cook one and it's still not going to be as good. So that's the whole idea, yes.
So offering on the level of prema, it's a complete offering.
Yes, yes.
But then if we go below... Mm-hmm. Then is there any difference between the quality and the volume of the things?
No, it's according to your nature, your position. So in the spiritual world, means that the bhakti is complete, the prema is complete.
Yes.
And so, but the medium that they'll use is according to the nature of their rati. Mm-hmm. What attraction they have for Krishna.
Yeah.
You know, like, let's say Mother Jashoda. So she has that vatsalya rati.
Right.
So now, she will then offer her love to Krishna through the mediums that best support vatsalya rati.
Right.
You know, then the prema is expressed through that. Right? Well, the cowherd boys, they'll use what goes best through the friendship. The gopis, what go through the conjugal. But it's all perfect. But it's the medium. So the same thing when it comes here, then it's according to our nature. So Sudama, he brings, you know, just a little bit of chipped rice and a worn out, torn piece of cloth. Yes. You know, then that's the perfect medium, because he's a poor Brahmin. Now, if Yudhishthir, he came out with, you know, this little ripped cloth with a little bit of chira in it, was, you know, gave a couple of grains to Krishna and then some to Satyaki and some to, you know, every Balaram, you know, whoever came with him, you know, and, you know, all the queens get one, you know, like that, you know, then it wouldn't be fitting. Right? So that's the thing, it's according to your nature. That's why the Varnashram is there, is that it defines what is your offering, what is your knowledge, what is your application, what is the results you can get, therefore what you can offer to Krishna. So it's not about the thing, but because we take it that the secondary is the important, we make the distinction between them. But Krishna doesn't. Means if it's according to your nature, but we'll throw out the nature. Oh, we're not this body. So now we've thrown out the medium. And now we use the speculative medium. Can we say that that's the best? You know, that's a problem. You know, like you want to feed the dog, you give it chocolate. Okay, you can do that. The chocolate doesn't work for dogs. It's not good for them. Right? You understand? So that's the thing. But, so you give according to what works for them. You know, or if you give a handful of, you know, the dog's hungry, you give him a handful of very nice quality grass. You know, you go out there, you find that real soft kind of one, you know, like that, and it's not going to work. You know, while if you open a can of dog food, the horse is not going to like that. You know, so that's the whole thing, is that it's according to the conditioning that you have. In the spiritual world is the constitutional position, but here's the conditional. But the point is in either case the soul can offer that devotion to Krishna, it just needs a medium. So that's then what we're using. And so that's the meaning of the Yukta Vairagya, is that your conditioning is being connected to Krishna. Right? And then within the context of your conditioning, what's available within your conditioning. So there may be better, you know, ingredients, maybe less better, but you connect them all to Krishna. Does that make sense? So that's the whole idea. That's what we're trying to do. Okay? Yeah.
See, Maharaj, that's why there is a lot of confusion, because there is no fixed position in the... no very well defined fixed position for people right now. So that's why they're always confused about what to offer, how much.
But the point is that the Shastra already says what to do. Yes. Now it's just like this. How long does it take to become good at something?
1 or 2 years.
Yeah, okay, a few years. So in 50 years we couldn't have become good at Varnashram? Mm-hmm. That means 25 times over we could. Yes. You know? And at least 5 times we could have become expert, you know, or like that. But we're not applying ourselves, so therefore, because we're still thinking, I'm not the body, but I am a Westerner. We're not this body, but we're Westerners, we can't eat this food and do this stuff. You know, so in other words, are these logical arguments? No. So, but what is their purpose? They're not logical, but we present them as if they're logic. So what's our purpose? To come up with something other than Siddhanta. We want to win an argument that establishes our attachments as spiritual. Right? Means, you know, in other words, my attachments are the knowledge, are the process and are the result. You know, in other words, they're perfect. Okay? You don't get better than our attachments, right? It's the drive, it's the inspiration. Yeah. So that's what we're trying to avoid, is what's the drive and inspiration of the Brajabasis? That's what we want to know. So when Nanda Baba's here, what does he do? He takes care of his cows, he takes care of the community, you know, as the king, takes care of his family as a father, as a husband. You know, he deals with his brothers as a brother, you know, his parents, you know, so everything is going on according to what's defined in Varnashram. So say what you like, the Brajabasis, you know, they follow Varnashram. Right? So it's not that they, through their rasa, then that form is there. You know, but the thing is here because of our attachments, our form is there. But the point is it can all be used in Krishna service because it follows the laws. So it's not going to be outside of that. You know, I mean, mechanics. Maybe you could say is okay, a non-Vedic lifestyle is outside of the parameter of the Paramatma aspect, but it still functions within the Brahman aspect. Means the rules are there on the Paramatma, they're just not recognizing, so they can't understand why they're getting a bad result. Yes.
We kind of know that Krishna is conquerable by devotion, but what is the part where he's unconquerable? What is that part actually?
His independence, his Atmarama. Means how do you conquer him if you're not even manifest? Point is he's there with, you know, just the millions of gopis, but 16,108 are prominent. Now, these girls are the most beautiful in the cosmos, not the magazine. you know, outside of the universe. You're more beautiful than anyone in the universe, anyone more beautiful than Vaikuntha or Dwarka or Mathura. They're the most beautiful in the whole spiritual material creation. And when he sees that the mood's not right, he just walks out. Mm-hmm. So how is he not unconquerable? So it's only he says he agrees to be conquered. So he's always unconquerable, but he agrees to be conquered by the devotion. The devotees with the devotion. Because he's a person, so therefore he agrees to be conquered by people. But the medium is devotion. So they deal with him in devotion, he reciprocates in devotion. So that actually conquers him. Otherwise, then you're dealing with Paramatma and Brahman. He's unconquered in those positions.
Okay. Right? That he allows to be conquered. In those positions.
He's unconquered in those positions.
He's unconquered.
Brahman just does Brahman stuff. You can't do anything to influence. Yes. Paramatma also, it's the law. It's just the way it is.
Okay.
But as Bhagavan, there he agrees to be conquered.
Oh, yes.
Does that make sense?
So that's already a mistake when we think we can conquer him by a devotion.
Yeah. No, it's he agrees to be conquered. Yes. You know, he likes it that way, but it's his, it's because he says, not because we say. So he's still the controller. He's still the Vishaya. Even if we control the situation to make arrangements for Krishna's enjoyment, we're still the instrument. We're still the ashray. We're never the Vishaya. Right?
I was thinking about an example I came across actually quite often that you're trying to like squeeze out devotion of what we do in devotional process, like
pour the conch at the Abhishek as slow as possible.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I saw kirtans and he was challenging. Oh, we have to put more feelings into the kirtan. It's like this all the time.
Yeah. But it's just one of those times when he says just do what Hanuman did, and then he might stop using that as an example.
What he did?
Hanuman, he just, you know, then puts his hands and rips open his heart, and, you know. Like that. And then,
okay.
Yeah. But the point is because in the contemporary context, it means be sincere. Mm-hmm. Therefore, it works.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
that. But if you analyze, just like, I know it's the one devotee, he doesn't like words being used out of their original definitions. So if you say, wow, that's cool, he goes, you mean the temperature's less? Or well, what are you talking about? And he just won't accept its use in another way. So, therefore, then when they say, from the heart or with the heart or, whatever it is that is being used, what they mean is like, focus. Don't get spaced out. Don't get distracted by material things. Focus on Krishna, because Krishna's in the heart, so then think about him. Mm-hmm. Like that, that's the meaning of it, but the phrase used doesn't necessarily have to make sense. That's always, one of the discussions between American English and British English, is from one to the other, what the phrases they use don't make sense.
Yeah, yeah.
Like that. So, but it has a context of what it means, the intent. So you take the intent, and the intent is good. They're trying to inspire devotees to be focused on the name and absorbed in the name. So in that way it's good, but if you take the technical of the word said, then it doesn't necessarily mean that so much of what we say doesn't mean. Like when I say, does that make sense? Does that make, now do we think of a French perfumery here or something, or are we thinking of, we're making money, that, a hundredth of a dollar is we get a cent, or, or a euros are also cents, no?
Yes.
Yeah. So, that of that, or, or do we mean our senses? So did I make another sense here? So now I have a seventh sense? Yeah. Keep going like this. He says so many times, by the time we finish class, we have about 37 senses, like that. So it's really annoying. I kind of get mixed up which one to use and all that. Can we just use them together? Is that, I'm saying? So that's the thing, is that we can take it so you see the intent of how it's used.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Yeah.
Intent.
So intent is the primary thing.
Is the primary thing, yes. That's the primary. Because the whole point is you're trying to get a result. What's the result for? So in this case, then it's to be absorbed in Krishna. That's the absorb, because that pleases Krishna. And so how are you going to get that? Through proper meditation. How are you going to get that? By controlling the mind. So does that make sense? So when you say with the heart, that technically means that you're using the mind, intelligence, and ego and the consciousness, because that's what's in the heart, to concentrate on the Lord of the heart. So that's meant. So from depending on the group you are, especially let's say if you have, just to throw out an example, is just a bohemian background, then you would say it's a bit sentimental and a bit over the top. And, why can't they just, why do they have to do that? Why can't they just, they'd be serious or, stuff like that. So it's just a matter of taste, of the nature of how you deal. Is it more intellectual? Is it more sentimental? That kind of thing. And most people respond to sentimental as opposed to intellectual.
Right?
Yes. You have observed that. Yes. Yes. Okay. Okay. But the poor Brahma was ashamed to present Krishna with his meager gift of flat rice. So it's a small, it's one thing is if you had brought in that little cloth, like a 100-carat diamond or something like that. Okay, I just saw it on the side of the road, thought you might like this, something like that. So the point is, but it's flat rice, right? It's flat rice, and it's in an old torn cloth. I'm sure it's a clean cloth, it's not a dirty cloth, like that. However, since Lord Krishna is the super soul dwelling in all hearts, he knew why Sudama had come to visit him. Right, so he knows about the sincerity. He knew he was going, is there anything we can take? And so that was the nicest thing that his wife could get, and so then that's what was brought. So he grabbed the bundle of flat rice Sudama was hiding and ate a handful of it with great pleasure. And he just takes it and throws it in his mouth as it is, right? Not even soaking it, not, you know, not putting any masalas, or he's just like that. It's not that he handed it to Rukmini. Rukmini went off to the kitchen, they made some grand preparation, then they brought it back. He just ate it, you know, as it is. He was about to eat a second morsel when Rukmini Devi stopped him. So it's a handful, but it's a morsel. Right? Does this make sense? You understand the cultural context here? No. You understand? Yeah.
And you take your own grab.
Yeah, you're not taking like this because you can't get that in your mouth. Because it has to be that when you're eating like this, it has to be what you can throw into your mouth. So how much is that? It's a handful, but it's only how much that without missing the whole thing can go into your mouth.
So
that generally means you catch it in this point here. If you really want to be technical, is that if you look at your fingers, when you put them all together, you know, and make it flat in the front, notice that the middle two fingers, the ring finger and the middle finger, are, because they're bigger, when they curve, they're you know, the on the back, they're higher, so that means inside there's more of a gap. So that, filling that place, because if you throw it in the palm, you can't get exact, you know. But you put it in that place, you can throw it exactly into your mouth. So how much fills there nicely that you can throw into your mouth, that's then a handful, or in this case, but it's a morsel because it's not that much. Does that make some sense? Okay. Mudi also works like that. Anything. That's the process. You know, if it's loose little individual, if it's just that individual piece, like a piece of sand dash or something like that, that you might do from your palm or like that. Because it's one thing, you have a better chance. But when you have, you know, you're talking about, you know, 20 different little bits and pieces, then. You ever noticed that? You ever seen that? They have their little bags of mudi, then that they stick the ends of their fingers in there and pull it out. They don't you know, messengers take it, pour it into their palm, and then, you know, if their fingers spread out, then throw it, half of it hits their face. And so therefore that's not good, so they'll just crunch on it with their hands. So, you know, yeah. So that's the difference. Two hands. So that's where you can get more. But then when you go off and eat it, you'll keep it in your left hand and eat it with your right. That's why in the Vedic you have a bowl. It means the sannyasis, they would beg with hands because that limits what you can get, because in a bowl you can get more. So if you're a brahmachari, go for the bowl. Like that.
Carry the bucket.
Huh? Yeah, the bigger the bowl, the better.
But perhaps normally when we eat, we are not supposed, with the end, we are not supposed to touch the
mouth. Yeah, that's why then if you use the end, in the fingers, in the knuckles of the fingers, you know, that, then you can get... Yeah, that also works. You want to have... Because it bounces off the top of your head. But you can only eat one at a time. Well, if you do this, then you can eat about 10 peanuts at a time. Right? You know, So, I mean, if you have 2 hours and you only have, you know, 50 peanuts, then you do it one at a time that way. You know, but if you have 50 peanuts and you only have 5 minutes, then you do it the other way. And if you get more peanuts by eating quicker, then definitely.
That is why in trains, with the peel it will be there, so that you can...
Yeah, really slow. He was about to eat a second morsel when Rukmini Devi stopped him. Feeling as if he had gone back to Godhead, Sudama spent that night comfortably in Lord Krishna's palace, and the next morning he set off for home. As he passed along the highway, he thought of how fortunate he was to have been so honored by Sri Krishna. So that was the fortune, to be able to associate with Krishna, that he interacted. Now he's a Brahmin, he's a Kshatriya, now he dealt with them in that way. But it was all based on that devotion that they had, that friendship that they had for each other.
Why is Rukmini stopping?
We will find out. The point is devotion to Krishna is that, see, as you do something, you know, external, you do something, you get... you know, get a particular result for that. A simple thing, you do what you do, you'll get that much back. You do something of greater piety, it increases. So the most pious is bhakti. So that little bit of handful of of Chira, then that means is that with one of them, then basically it takes unlimited to fulfill the result. So if he takes the second, there's no chance. She can't deal with that. It's beyond her capacity. You know, it's beyond unlimited. So, you know, so therefore, she stopped him at one hand.
That's her being Lakshmi. That's her being Lakshmi.
Yes, that's her being Lakshmi. Okay. Absorbed in this meditation, Sudama arrived at the place where his home used to be, and he was struck with great wonder. Instead of his broken-down hovel, he saw a series of opulent palaces. While he stood astonished, a group of beautiful men and women came forward to greet him with singing and music. The Brahmin's wife, wonderfully adorned with celestial jewelry, came out of the palace and welcomed him with great love and reverence. Sudama entered his home together with her, thinking that this extraordinary transformation must have been due to the Supreme Lord's mercy on him. From then on, Sudama lived with his lived his life amid lavish wealth. Yet he maintained his mood of lived with his wife and his lavish wear. No, he just lived his life. So what happened to the wife?
Okay. There's a fairy tale in Russian. Yeah. It's considered to be old. It's exactly about this, but he didn't go to it. It was a fisherman, okay. And he just got a goldfish. And she asked for, then he can ask her three boons. And that was the palace, the girl, and I don't remember what else, but then he decided but his wife remained old. So there was the whole thing, and finally, after some time, he just went back to the same thing that happened before.
He went back to being a fisherman. Yeah.
But it's exactly the same thing.
Well, all these stories you see are old. Aesop's fables are all based on the Niti Shastra and stuff like that. So all it is they... You know, you give thousands of years between one situation and the next, and you get up, you know, and so it's just the way it works. So you have some stories that are there from, you know, millions of years, so if you talk about going from here up through Central Asia and then coming into Europe, and then those things that come across, you know, the Greeks and everything like that, you know, the Alans and the Vandals and, you know, all those guys, you know, so it's all there. Okay, from then on, Sudama lived his life amid lavish wealth, but he maintained his mood of detachment and constantly chanted the glories of Lord Krishna. In a short time, he broke off all bonds of bodily attachment and attained to the kingdom of God. And so he was in that. He had nothing, he was fully Krishna conscious, and he had everything, he was fully Krishna conscious. So that's the whole point, is that it's not about the facility, because the facility doesn't improve the Krishna consciousness. Like that. We may say it does. You know, if I have this, our mind will be peaceful, so then we can think about Krishna. But it's not that it actually is required. It's just due to our attachments and identity. Then it works for us. So that's why the Varnashram system is there. So that we can fulfill those needs according to that system. Mm-hmm. So, yes.
Mm-hmm. Mark, Sudama Vipra, he stayed only one night with Krishna and then he left.
But that's the normal time that a guest, an unannounced guest stays, is one night. That's standard. So as an atiti, means it wasn't an arrangement, he just showed up. Mm-hmm. So a Brahmin just showing up, then one night, you know, basically, you know, whatever it is, wherever it is from that day through the night to the next morning, then that's your standard time of a guest staying. Mm-hmm.
Because it appears from the previous conversation between them that they were like really close friends from the Gurukul. Mm-hmm. So it's natural, you know, like saying he wanted to stay more time with Krishna, but then he just left.
But did he come with his wife?
No.
If he had come with his wife, then they might stay more. But how does he just leave her there? Like when Krishna came and stayed months and months at Hastinapur, Rajasuya, yeah. He brought all his queens, his queens, his close associates, like that.
I guess it's a foreign concept.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. It's like that, what do you call it? Neanderthal, you know, the penny drops for the Neanderthal. Okay.
You mean
they don't like to be clubbed over the head, you know, as the you know, the courting arrangement, you know, like that, and dragged home by their hair, you know, like that. So it's that, but it's also just the normal standard point of staying, you know, because it was kind of more of an official. He was going because he was sent there by his wife, so he had to go back.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just, it works. It works. Like that. So
it was mentioned that he was maintaining mood of detachment. And after
yes. That, mood of detachment means, doesn't mean that he doesn't live in this, he lived amidst lavish wealth, but it doesn't mean he doesn't maintain a mood of detachment, because it's not his, it's Krishna's. So he's in this opulent environment that he uses for Krishna, like Yudhishthira Maharaj is in that opulent environment, he uses it for Krishna. Mm. You know, Balir Maharaj is in that opulent environment, he uses it for Krishna. Indra is in that opulent environment, then, you know, it's kind of, you know, I say, depends on which way the wind's blowing, you know, if it's for him or for Krishna. So that shows, because that means Indra is not advanced devotee. While we see Sudama Vipra and Yudhishthira, they are. Is that okay?
And just the next one follows. It's like there was something left, and because you mentioned then he broke all the bonds of bodily attachment. Yeah. There was like something still to work out, or...
Yeah, but it just depends upon what level you're talking, because, you know, anything below prema, then you're dealing with this. It's just where in between shraddha up to prema you want to situate them. So because it says bonds of bodily attachment doesn't mean that it has to mean neophyte. Mm-hmm. And also in bhava, then, you know, they can be attached to the material facilities they have. You know, the house they live in, the particular family, their particular beauty, all these different things, the service they have. They can be distracted by that. Right? You know what I'm saying? Let's say people talk about Raghunuga Bhakti. What do they talk about in Raghunuga? You know, if they want to, you know, if they're having a conversation, what's the discussion about?
Gopis.
Gopis. And what aspects of the gopis?
Rasa dance.
So it's all secondary aspects. So it may be more refined, more developed. But at prema, that's not what they're thinking about. They're thinking about Krishna. Right? Following the devotees, but it's still about Krishna. You know, you can say it's no, but you're doing that with all the devotees. It's like, now let's say there's a person on one side of a piece of glass and another on the other. Can you see that person through the glass?
Normally, yes.
Yes. No, we're not talking about this high-tech thing where you push a button and it goes black. And all. No, we're not talking about that. We're talking about, you know, we're just talking about a, you know, standard piece of glass. Okay. Right. So, but, means, how do you see that person? Do you see them on their own without the glass?
No,
you see him only because it's through the glass. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right? Through the glass, not through the looking glass. That one gets weird. Right? Because then you're talking about the reflection.
Okay. Yeah.
So when you look at everything through the reflection, then again. So therefore, then you're seeing Krishna, and who's the glass, as we define it philosophically?
Previous devotees.
Yes, the spiritual master, the previous acharyas, the leading devotees, you know, leading associates, they're the glass. Mm-hmm. So you always see through that. Mm-hmm. So if you're at all distracted by the glass, you know, instead of looking at you, I'm looking at the glass. Wow, what's that? You know, like, we've got to polish this up here. But I'm not seeing the person. And we miss the point. So therefore, those in connection with. So when you're seeing the primary, then the secondary has meaning. So that's why when we just see secondary, then we stick to Vaidhi. Because then that's a very set thing. Because the other one, because it's rag, then it may be just our, you know, our spontaneous, what do you call it, speculation. It's not. It's not actually real.
One devotee astrologer, he said a pastime after Sudama gained his wealth, so the demigods, they got little anxious that he has so much wealth that none of the demigods even had. So they wanted them to come and test him. But as soon as they come, Lord, it doesn't even allow to disturb him.
Yeah, yeah. They just say he'll stop it.
And then Sudama asked Lord that, I'm only anxious that I have so many children. I think if he gets many children, then how they will be engaged in your service. And he said, Lord, engage them to get the report from all over the universe, basically, like the nakshatras.
Oh.
So he was so dedicated that Lord
engaged them. Okay.
Then after he's been blessed so much of opulence, he gives up the Amrita Vrata.
He gives up Amrita. Why would he give up Amrita?
Because now he has so much opulence, he doesn't have to go anywhere too.
He doesn't have to go anywhere. But Amrita means you don't go anywhere.
Yeah, but now everything is in the house.
But he got it as Amrita.
It's already Amrita. Just you got more of it. So he's just living on what comes without any effort, and that's all there without effort, right? And his wife manages it, so yeah. So then, you know, dinner comes without effort. So that's his thing. It's whatever she cooks, whatever arrangement she makes, he's comfortable with.
Mm-hmm.
She's in control of it. She decides.
Mm-hmm.
And, so that's the whole thing. Is one is in the position of authority, but they're leaving it up to the others. They have the control, and the other one has the control, but not the authority.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the thing. The modern is everybody wants both.
Yes.
So that's cheating. Can't be, doesn't it?
So this kind of relationship, it's actually beyond micro and micro management. It's very high level of trust.
Mm. Yes. Yeah, it is. Because that's the whole point, is that commitment is there, so things are going to work. You do your duties, they do their duties, that's then everything works. So that trust, then from that, then you trust relationships, it all develops. So it also helps Krishna consciousness. By that fidelity, it creates a more solid basis in Krishna consciousness. Because then you trust relationships, you trust this. But if you've been through so many people that you didn't trust, then when we bring up this point of authority and this and that, then we get these, you know, conversations that just go off into that they don't trust authority. And that, so it does, it's not positive for understanding this principle.
Mm.
Right?
Mm.
So the idea is that's why it's there. Sometimes it doesn't work, but that's the ideal. But if we take by the modern thing, the pessimistic, oh, nothing works and nothing this and that and so, then what do they do? So of course things don't work out. They can't surrender. No one else will surrender to them. And so then they don't have relationships. So you just have relationships with those who are willing to interact at the present moment.
Mm-hmm.
And you call them, you know, family, friends, or whatever you like. But, you know, come back after some time and they're not. So that requires that commitment. But the point is the ultimate purpose of the commitment is that commitment to the Lord, that surrender to the Lord. You know, we'll take it, oh, that's weak and this and that. But surrender to the Lord's not weak. That's the nature. We're thinking it's weak because then that shows you're not the controller and enjoyer.
Mm-hmm.
And unless you control, you can't enjoy. Mm-hmm. So you don't want to show any weakness.
Right.
You know, or if you show weakness, it makes them feel more strong.
Mm-hmm.
so you don't show weakness. Mm. Yes. You know, so it's all about the mundane concept of I'm the controller and the enjoyer. That's the basis of the whole thing, but it's not actually the position. So these relationships, it works. That's why it's there. So Krishna, he means the devotee, he's fully surrendered to Krishna and trusts Krishna will take care and show his mercy. And Krishna is surrendered to the devotee, and then he has that faith that the devotee will always act in prema, in bhakti. So that's why, there's a control of your position until you get to prema. So you shouldn't disturb Krishna. So you're only allowed to be close to Krishna how much you're not going to disturb. Does that make sense? Yeah, so there's a generic thing. You have the temple, you have the different things, so everyone can go and take advantage. Like that. But to get closer than that, then that means then there has to be that commitment and that steadiness. So,
yeah. Maharaj, can we say that not to follow Varnashram Dharma is disturbing to Krishna?
Not following Varnashram Dharma. It just means it's the nicest medium. In other words, if I have a relationship with somebody, there's a medium that's used. You know, medium of conversation, or medium of activities, or points of interest, or there's something that is the common ground for the relationship. And so in consideration of the other person, then you try to stick within that. You know, does that make sense? So let's say it's you're into, driving around and driving around, and then within that, therefore, then you like to go around in a particular kind of car. You know, either those big monster kind of, road boats or a sport car, or you have something that you like to go around in.
In India, it is a cycle.
Yes, it's like that. And so then, that's why when you're going down the road, they just sit there and talk to each other and take up the whole road and won't let you go. Yeah. So it's not about going somewhere; it's about talking. Yeah. So then, let's say is that you're going to go out for a drive. So you and that person always go for a drive, but your car is being fixed, and so they give you some little compact or something that's very different from the car that you use. But the point is, since it's about the drive, and you can talk, so therefore it works, but temporarily, because you prefer the other one. It's not that, oh, well, that worked okay, so then we'll always use that. No, there is a natural medium. Mm-hmm. So the social medium is Varnashram for working with Krishna. Mm-hmm. That's the natural thing. Now, if it's not available or that, then you use whatever comes the closest. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that then works. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? So it's not that Varnashram makes the devotion, it's just the natural form to be used in the higher principle of devotion. Mm-hmm. Right? Because bhakti is the ultimate piety, so why you wouldn't use, general piety, as the recommended piety in the service of ultimate piety. But if it's just locally construed piety, we'll consider it piety because we consider it pious, we consider it good, so therefore we consider this is nice to offer to Krishna. So therefore Krishna accepts it because you're trying to offer something nice. Does that make sense? So that's where it comes from, that you like Rupa Goswami says, you can, offer local food or something, something that's special and local. The rest of it you may drop, so you might cook rice and dal instead of rice and beans from South America, but there might be a preparation you like, so that you might offer. The specialties might stay. Does that make sense? Because they just have that, they're unique, so you consider them the best. And so you offer that, you're trying to give the best to Krishna. But now as you become purified, that best may change or may not have to change. Mm. Does that make sense? Mm. So, if where you're from, the lifestyle is sattvic in that anyway, then you don't have to change that.
Yes. Yes.
But if your lifestyle is not so sattvic, then you might find that you might want to make some adjustments.
Yes.
Right? So?
Yes. Yeah.
Hmm? Okay. Shloka Anusharanam, summary of verses 1 to 11. The Lord joyfully accepts Sudama's gift. 12 to 20, Sudama glorifies the Lord on the way home. 21 to 41, Sudama attains Krishna's mercy and goes back home, back to Godhead. Verses 1 to 11, the Lord joyfully accepts Sudama's gift. Sukadeva Goswami said, Lord Hari, Krishna, perfectly knows the hearts of all living beings, and he's especially devoted to the Brahmanas. While the Supreme Lord, the goal of all saintly persons, conversed in this way with the best of the twice born, he laughed and spoke the following words to that dear friend of his, the Brahmana, Sudama, all the while smiling and looking upon him with affection. The BBT purport states, according to Srila Sridhar Swami, the words sarva, bhuta, mano, bhigya indicate that since Lord Krishna knows the minds of everyone, he could tell at once that his friend Sudama had brought some flat rice for him and was ashamed to present it. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's further explanation of this verse, Lord Krishna smiled at this moment, thinking, yes, I'm going to make you show what you brought for me. Right? So he's thinking about this fun because he's embarrassed and then he's going to make him show it anyway. Yeah. Like that. So as friends, you know, they're close friends. So then,
and not make him feel more embarrassed, right?
Hmm?
Nothing like that. And not make him feel more embarrassed at seeing I've got the bond that you've got like this.
No, but amongst close friends, somebody's embarrassed by something, but it's connected to them, is that, you know, they don't mind bringing out the embarrassment because it's not going to make you feel any worse. It's going to be fun. Yeah.
Because even the queens are there, no?
He's a man. Therefore, a touch of embarrassment works. And do the women have a problem of a man being mildly embarrassed? Right? It's cute. Right? You know. Like that. And women, maybe that comes embarrassed, but it's only if there's close friends there. People they don't know or men are there, then that's not a go.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. Yeah.
They are Gurukuli.
Yeah, yeah. His smile then turned to laughter as he thought, how long are you going to keep this precious gift hidden in your cloth? Krishna glanced towards the bundle hidden inside his friend's garment, telling Sudama by his loving glance, the veins showing through your emaciated skin and your ragged clothes astonish everyone present. But these symptoms of poverty will last only until tomorrow morning. Although Lord Krishna is Bhagavan, the supreme independent Lord, he is always pleased to reciprocate with those who are Priya, his cherished servants. As the indulgent patron of the Brahmin class, he especially enjoys favoring Brahmins who are additionally qualified by unconditional devotion to him, right? So he favors all Brahmins who are, you know, properly Brahmins. But now if their Brahmin, you know, Brahminhood also includes that unconditional devotion, then that's the best. So then you have Brahmins are dear, Brahmins who are devotees are then more dear, and Brahmins who are unconditional devotees are the most dear.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
as we go through Brahmins.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Sukadeva Goswami, and someone only dresses as a Brahmin, then the dress is dear. Therefore, if you interact with the dress, because they're dressed as a Brahmin, then, you know, you'll get a little more benefit. But, you know, it's not the person, it's the dress.
So, Maharaj, can we say the same thing for sannyasi?
To dress yes, sannyasi. Yes. Like at Kumbh Mela, the devotees and some Mayavadi sannyasis went by and probably got on the case why they didn't offer obeisances. Because they're sannyas. You know, that means they properly take, they've gone through the ritual of sannyas, so it's a bona fide position. What they do with it is another thing, so we're always respectful. How much we get involved, that's a different thing. But we're always respectful. Like that. And so what's the basic things that you would do? That's done. Extra above that service, that may be avoided. But offering respects, offering obeisances, you know, proper places to sit or different things like that, that may would be connected. You know? So whatever is not going to create a difficulty wherever, you know, we find that there might be a weakness. Right? So if they don't know the philosophy, then you might not ask them to give class. But you'll give them the seat right in the front with a nice cushion and a glass of water, you know, all that kind of jazz. Yeah. Sukadeva Goswami continued. The Supreme Lord said, O Brahmana, what gift have you brought me from home? I regard as great even the smallest gift offered by my devotees in pure love. But even great offerings presented by non-devotees do not please me. If one offers me with love and devotion a leaf, a flower, a fruit, or water, I will accept it. And so it's the same as we see in the Gita.
Yeah.
So it's just that's when Krishna says that, that wasn't just for there because they're on the battlefield. So hey, you know, okay. You know, this is just the general point. The BBT purport states, these famous words are also spoken by the Lord in Bhagavad Gita 9:26. The translation and word meanings here are taken from Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita as it is. In the context of the current episode of Sudama's visit to Dwarka, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti has kindly continued his explanation of Lord Krishna's statements. This verse is a reply to Sudama's anxiety that his bringing such an unfit offering was ill-considered. Right, so he just took that there and was so happy to go see Krishna. But now coming there to the palace, and then now he's considering, well, this is not a good offering, right? You know, it's like,
or maybe he just forgot about it completely.
No, he wouldn't have forgotten about it. That's why he said he's hiding it in the clock. Otherwise, it would have been he forgot about it, but no, he's hiding it. He's because that's what he said before. He was embarrassed. Yeah. He could tell at once, Krishna could tell, because he knows the minds of everyone, that his friend Sudama had brought some flat rice for him and was ashamed to present it. And then Krishna smiled, thinking, yes, I'm going to make you show what you brought for me. Right? You know, so bring out that little bit of embarrassment. It'll be the fun. The use of the words bhaktya, payachati, and bhaktyupaharitam may seem redundant, since they both mean offered with devotion. But bhaktya can indicate how the Lord reciprocates the devotional mood of whoever offers him something with love. Right? Because you can say is that they both mean the same thing, so why use the two words? Because it's there, the devotee's offering devotion, Krishna reciprocates. So we see here that that's what is happening. You know, he says, you're so poor, but that'll only last till tomorrow morning. Right? Because you see is that when Krishna arranges these things, you wake up in the morning in the new situation. Like at Dwarka, when they moved them from Mathura to Dwarka, they went to sleep in Mathura. They woke up in Dwarka the next morning. Like that. So, okay, cool. You know, so Sudama, you know, his wife goes to sleep and then wakes up in the morning in all this palace. And everything. Yeah.
But Maharaj, we don't know how far the Brahmana Sudama was living from Dwarka. There's no indication.
No, but far enough that he, you know, it seems that it wasn't so much that when he'd walk, it wasn't so bad.
Mm. I wonder what the neighbors were thinking once this.
What are the neighbors? Yeah, he didn't have neighbors like that.
Well, they only became part of the scene.
Yeah, they are. They're the ones neighbor. Dressed up nicely that are coming and helping.
The neighbors gave that cheap rice. They only gave four neighbors.
Yeah.
It mentions that Sudama saw a series of opulent palaces. That means when the neighbors got the benefit.
Could be it could be that the neighbors got, but it also could mean that within his then there's a series of palaces, because everything's a palace. You're going to have the gates, you're going to have, you know, the main place, you're going to have guest places, you're going to have places for cows, you're going to have places for all this and that. So everything's a palace.
Would Brahmins generally live in the same place? Like,
he's got the opulence of Indra, you know. So
no, but I mean before, I don't. At that time,
would they live in a village together?
Yeah,
you'd have a Brahmin village or an area within a town or something that's for the Brahmins. Agraha. You know, so that's the area where they live. You know, it's just like in Vrindavan, you see, you know, Loi Bazaar. Okay, and then you know, in Loi Bazaar, you can take that road that goes down past Shamasundar and Damodar. right? And that meets with the, and then when Loi Bazar goes down and it hits the it dead ends. And there's a T. So if you turn left, you can go down to Radha Raman. So now that road that goes from Radha Damodar, it comes out on that road just at that corner where what's the place with the Shriji? You know, the place with the curly things. It's like you have three roads going. So the one that's coming, that connects back that way. So in between those three area, inside there, that's just Brahman area. We generally don't see it. So unless you know about it, you'll just go by it and never know it's there. But that whole area in there is this huge area that all the different Brahmins live from all the different temples. So you have like that. Brahmins live in one area. That, you know, like even Dwarka, it's divided into four. One area Brahmins, one Kshatriya, one Vaishya, one Shudra.
Maybe somebody
should
Rama went back to his people. And eternal associate of the Lord, or is
that we'll see. But in any case, he becomes once he goes back to Godhead. But you generally would expect that this story of Krishna and Sudama is always happening, like that. You know, just like the Pandavas, it's always happening. So he's just part of the Dwarka scene, because Dwarka, you have Dwarka itself, and then you have the extension of that. So Indraprastha, Hastinapur, you know, whatever's connected with Dwarka pastimes. That's all considered part of Dwarka. You know, then you have Mathura. So they're basically the same kind of place, but it's just one's more the opulence, one's a little more the sweetness. So it's all connected. So Mathura, Dwarka, Swetadweep, Navadweep, you know, Purushottam Kshetra, you know, Indraprastha, all these are all part of that scene. So that's known as lower Goloka. That's Vaikuntha. And then Gokul, that's the upper portion, that's Vrindavan. Or Brudge. Right? You understand? So even you have Vrindavans where it's being perceived of from the more of the point of opulence or other kind of perspectives, that will be part of that scene. Just more sweetness than Mathura. But it's an extension of that aspect. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Maharaj, what about when it comes to Brudge, we are saying sweetness. Then Navadvip,
because it's Brudge. It's not somewhere else. But it's just the Audarya aspect comes out more.
Okay.
Because that's part of the pastime. Because that means that conjugal rice is also known as Karunya, mercy.
Okay.
So it's just that side of it. Right? So. Okay. The use of the word bhakti aprayachati and bhakti upa hritam may seem redundant since they both mean offered with devotion, but bhakti can indicate how the Lord reciprocates the devotional mood of whoever offers him something with love. All happens with love. In other words, Lord Krishna here declares that his reciprocation in pure loving exchange is not dependent on the external quality of what is offered.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki,
Jai
Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura.